Today is 2nd of January, 1987. My name is Steve Frangos. I'm on Route 75 South going to Sarasota so that I can talk to the Ebersols. It's 11:15. I'm 50 minutes late, but I already called them from Parrish to tell them that I'm on my way and that I'd be late because of my talking to George Altman. So I hope to talk to the two Ebersols about Amish quilting and woodworking. Okay. Now we're looking at this one stitch here on the quilt. And again, we were talking about this is from what I'd seen that you had shown Elsie. Now, where did you learn how to do the stitch again?
In Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania. And who did you learn it from?
From our minister's wife. I was a little girl too sick to go to school. And she came with a bedspread and the thread and showed me how to do it. And I must have been 12.
And how old are you now, ma'am?
I'm 78.
No cheat now, you have to tell me.
I have not a bit. It's getting close to my age.
That's right. And now.
And I knew it then as a cable stitch. But since I have shown it to other friends, they say, oh, they have known it as the snail's trail. But I have seen now that it's in craft books.
What did you say is the other name then?
Palestrina.
Palestrina, I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She does masterpieces.
Yeah, this is a very nice thing. Could I take a picture of this? Would that be all right?
Sure.
Now, when you sit, you can't see this on the tape here, but you were saying that this isn't quilted yet, that you did the design here and that it has yet to be quilted.
That's right.
Will you do it by yourself? Will you do it with
the
ladies?
No, I have a nephew's wife in Roanoke, Virginia, who does beautiful quilting.
Uh-huh.
And she will do it.
Okay.
But I don't think you'd want to show them toward the window, would you?
You have to sort of get around.
They do a lot of quilting. They do a lot of quilting here in the church, too. At the church, the ladies' eight room, the women's room, they do a lot of quilting there.
Yeah.
Over the back of the stand. Or would you
rather? However you want to do it. Yeah, well, I understand that there's a,
If we put it up far enough, center, well, this one is
just, yeah, and I just want to see if I have enough light because I might have to switch in the other key. Just there.
Straight in your corner.
No.
Right.
Okay. One more time? Okay.
Right.
That must be it.
Yeah,
just try again here because we might have to get the other key. I'm blinking. Let me just get the other key. I'm sorry to cause you all this trouble.
Yeah, I hear that there's a ladies' sewing circle.
Mm-hmm.
What you might call.
Yeah.
That meets on Thursdays.
And there are many. Is your tape still turning?
Yes, ma'am. We're catching the clock, too. And,
there's many groups here in Pinecraft, which is an Amish settlement that you just passed through. And they quilt in garages. I understand that they can do two or three a week because so many come in to help.
Yeah, well, I understand that during the what they call the winter, that they... that it's sort of a regular thing, and there are three or four houses where they just work in their garages.
Oh, yes, and they have a list, and there are long lists of waiting as the others are finished. They'll have the chance to put theirs in.
Is this just sort of like would you know who those people are? Is it just sort of like an informal thing, or?
Oh, yes. I know that the Henry Betts has one, but I don't know where the other couches are.
I'll get you in this one. You too, now, no boy. We're going to tell everybody that you do the patterns to help cut out the patterns.
Well, he has some things to show you, too.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to get a better light thing on my one camera. This is only in black and white.
We have a Christian day school here there are about 500 students. Well, they have a benefit sale in February. Are you in this area in February?
Is it what part of February now? The early part?
I'm not sure if it's a little or near the beginning. I have forgotten the date.
Well, I will be within, I'll be in the state, and if I know what the time is, I can check, I'm sure, and then I'll definitely make a point of coming up.
Where is this?
It can just work. I have a quilting in here, and we'll probably get it to the school, so I don't know that. Last year, we bought our quilt back because we didn't think it brought enough. And then we sent it to our relief sale, which is for our Mennonite Central Committee, and everything goes for foreign relief. Mm-hmm. Well, not all from the foreign. But we bought it back at the school sale for $4.40.
This should be over here again.
We bought it back at the school sale for $440, and it sold at this relief sale for $950. So we helped two causes.
Now this is something else.
Yeah. Now what's the, I know that these various, I know that there are names for the various patterns. I'm sorry, my mom was here, she knew all this stuff too. You know, some are called, log cabin, and some of the other ones are. What is this particular?
Well, now this is just a cross stitch block, and I don't know what to, if it has a name.
See,
or
that's
not.
Marked.
But I put it together with this star. I joined these 12 blocks.
I did a cross stitch.
This.
And you did the cross stitching, is that correct?
No, my sister did.
Your sister did it.
Up in Virginia. She's older and it's like a family. Mm-hmm. She did the cross stitching. My wife did the little thing then put together.
Is that a typical thing to do, you know, which is what I had heard, and that's why I'm sort of asking, that let's say you enjoy doing the, let's say the cross-stitching, and your sister enjoys joining it together. No. I'm just saying, I mean, is it broken down in parts where...
No, not usually, no.
Mm-hmm. We have some women here that do the whole thing. Just do the... together and
they can usually quilt them in about 3 weeks.
But the one that was doing most of them, I guess,
the
one that was doing most of them is going blind and she can't see anything, so she has to quit.
Who is that?
Anna Albright.
Anna Albright.
She lives in Pinecraft, but she I don't know whether she can show you some of her work now.
Well, no, she didn't
work
out because she
quilted
forever.
But she did a lot of it, and now her sight is doing so bad. She can't do it, her husband's dead.
Then I have this African that we'll be giving to the school. We've seen these, I suppose, but of course there's no original pattern at all. It's the Navajo.
I see why I say she keeps me in stitches.
It's a Navajo pattern.
That's something pretty good. Yeah. She does different patterns, but that's her favorite.
And again, did you learn this up in Pennsylvania?
Oh, I learned to crochet as a child, but this pattern I just picked up from a friend a couple of years ago.
And did you learn from your mom or from your family?
No, an old neighbor. I would walk across the field and she taught me how to crochet. And my grandmother taught me how to knit. And what patience they had. I tell you, to teach a little girl, 5 or 6 year old, how to knit with 5 needles, stockings. I think it takes patience.
Oh, certainly.
Now I think it will start to show you some of these things.
Oh, okay.
I believe I'm about done.
All right, well, I do want to spend more time talking about it. Yeah, we'll run through this, I guess.
Well, I was a school teacher for 40 years, and during the war, during World War II, they couldn't get shop teachers. I taught elementary and junior high. But they couldn't get the shop teachers, and they'd seen some of the handwork we did in our room just for physical work, and doing something nice to hang at home. So they wondered if I'd take the shop. And they had, for a year or two, they'd hired old men who couldn't hear well or whatever, and the shop was just a wreck. So I said, I'll take it. Well, I went down, and the first thing I told the students, tear everything out of loose that can be taken loose and clean the shop up. The floor was always finished in the summer, but the rest of it was wrecked. Mm-hmm. And the tools and everything was rusty and nicked, you know, and the tops of the desks, the work tables even, had screws and nails driven into them. Mm. I said, we'll take them all out, repair them, refinish the tables, and then we'll make furniture. I've never made furniture here, and I said, no, do not. And far too. Mm-hmm. So I made that desk to start them out. Of course, I did a small work. We put in some lathe.
When you made this desk, did you use power tools, in fact?
Oh, yes.
What kind of stuff did you... My dad's a carpenter, that's why I'm interested.
Well,
what kind of stuff did you have then?
Anything. I did everything that we had, from lathe to bandsaw to a big table saw. Mm-hmm. It was too big for our size school. Mm-hmm. It was dangerous, and I had trained them very carefully, and then once in a while something.
Yeah, we'll do something. How big was the motor on it, do you remember? Was it 2 horsepower or?
5 horse.
5 horsepower, my God, that was a big machine.
It was a big one, and sure. 15-inch blade.
Yeah, my dad only uses half a horse because he wants it to stop. I just want the blade to...
That thing ran 3,500.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a big motor on that machine.
Oh, it was too dangerous, but I trained him real well, and we had an 8-inch...
planer?
Jointer.
Jointer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we first set that in there, when I was in high school yet, our first high school burned down, and they built another and they put the power tools in. When we set that in there, he didn't know anything about the tools either, and they put an 8-inch jointer in there, and so he was showing us how to be real careful. He took his thumb here and pushed a piece of wood through there, and one of the boys said, "Rock it your thumb!" He cut it clear back to there.
Wow.
So he showed us the hard way how dangerous those things are. But yes, I made it. It's getting old and...
Can I take a photo of it?
Yes. And it's getting old, but it still shows what kind of work I have to do to it. And by the way, it's doing more of it if you get lumber, and I made that out of the very most difficult kind of wood. It's... there's my brain. Sycamore. Beautiful green.
I'm going to have to use the other camera.
I've rematched the door fronts, you know, made the handles and everything, and made this back here, part down the lay, part by hand. Boy, did I get youngsters interested. They make nice things. I had one boy that did 4 bedroom suits with 36-inch plate glass, top and center, then I did dressing.
And where did you first learn how to do carpentry and furniture making?
In my dad's shop. He was very careful with one set of tools that he kept in a tool chest. I was out on the farm, I was raised on the farm. And he had a tool chest with very good tools, and the other tools for every day, you know, and out on the farm, they're hanging on the wall. He said, "I'll use them, put them back. I don't want to find any outdoors." Okay, but when I want to make some furniture at home, I need to make some things that we use in the house. I said, "I have to use some of those good tools. I need some better tools." He said, "I've seen some of the things you've done, but these tools are to be damaged," and they're going to be back in the toolbox, clean, and used. He had a sheepskin, this is sheepskin as well, and he saw the damage. And I didn't use his tools.
And my older brother. He's done things like that on his
wall. Not the youngsters can do that.
Yeah,
they'll do it. That's the normal one. How it's
Yeah.
You don't get very much more.
No, you can't buy a walnut, no, not at all. Yeah.
And this, by the way, this, the first wife, I lived in a small town next to Copeland, Indiana, 10 miles east.
Where is it?
Greentown, Indiana.
Greentown. Yeah, I went to school in Bloomington.
You did?
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
Southern, yeah. But I had made this up there and it broke down, and we had it in town and we went home. And then the mother went sick and went out to take care of her and had a flood during that time. Filled the basin with water and busted every joint in the house. So you didn't think that's a tragic to put an open. But there I did. You couldn't see those joints so long. This is made out of all this stuff. And it's busted the joints. I never have to take one and put it back in shape, but it's still a very good disc and it's rematched fronts.
Let him set up to the
show. And this is some more work I finished doing.
Yeah.
Build up and then turn it over again. That was made so that this was prepared to turn on the lathe wheel. And these were coming over there. And after I had made it, you know, the bandsaw cut it through and
pushed one side, one side, one side, the other side. Yeah.
Yeah, the other side of there. And I turned these on the other two. But how did I do that one?
I
look like you did
that one.
That's the
one. That's the
one. They make it up.
Yeah, I was
going to say. It's set up to see this piece of hand. It's set up to produce that one.
Yeah, and I also, Elsie made a point of telling me that you'd made that table out of the spools.
Yes, that's about there. Mm-hmm. I did this. When I bought this organ, it was an ugly thing. The old lady had it. The bells were ruined. She had to go like this to get a sound out of it. So I found a fellow who used to work in the music store in Philadelphia and tuned pianos and organs. And I asked him if he'd put, this was no good anymore. And he put new pads under the keys and fixed the bellows. But the stool was no good. And by the way, I put new pieces under there and refinished the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stool was no good. You know, those roundings, you can turn up and down.
That's right.
That was no good anymore. So,
you built this?
Made a flower stand out of that and made a new stool.
That's excellent. Can I take a picture of that?
Yeah. It's, you want it that way?
No, that's fine. Just like that.
It makes sense.
So you get the perspective. Yeah.
And that's solid wood. Her brother-in-law gave it to me in the room.
The wood.
Mm-hmm.
While you're in there,
yes, here's a novel. After I retired from teaching, we used to go out and fish and gather shells. So we'd go out there. While I was teaching here, I finished my 40 years of teaching out here in Christian Day School. And on Saturdays, we'd go out fishing and gather some shells. And so I had seen, well, her rooms have mirrored walls to it.
Yes, sir.
And way down the line, you see.
Yeah,
and then I saw a cabinet somebody made about that big square against the mirrors in there and said something in the middle. I said, that has possibilities. So I came home and invented this thing. I made a cabinet out of 1/4-inch plywood. That's the original cabinet for it. And put a bottom in here and put an upstairs here. And then I put a turntable in there with a half-inch, small 3.5 RPMs motor.
Mm-hmm. And that's the motor. To revolve, that's right.
And I put drawer gliders under the turntable. Look down in there.
Oh, I have to sit on the chair.
Oh, you always down in there. There's the turntable.
Yeah.
Okay. Now sit on the chair and see what I did with it. I put a... This is a hand winder. There's how great.
Oh, I see. Now, well, that is amazing.
See what you can see way back.
Oh, my God. That's right. That's amazing.
Everybody wrong on it. I made 26 of them. I'm on a panel, did you see? And
that is incredible.
Three-way mitering here at the corner. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
I can take that top off.
Yeah, I see.
Upstairs has a light and a motor down the basement. And this TV light on top. Over the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Yeah, that is incredible. And you just did this all by yourself, just came in?
Yeah, I just built up the way. The first one took me a couple of weeks to get it all together just right, you know. And the mirrors have to be true. I just make the final adjustments right here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so you can tell.
I put everything in from the back. The back comes off, the top comes off. And the motor is underneath.
Yeah, that is incredible. It goes on forever.
Yes, it goes into infinity back there, too. And that's the reason I have to make the final adjustment, is because if I don't, maybe those rules will hang there up and down, so I adjust the mirrors, the front mirror, will do the rest of it, then finish it up.
Show's on parade.
And this was a throwaway clock somebody had.
Huh.
It didn't work. The bellows didn't work. And this birdie wasn't in there, and this thing hung on a screw here. These were all rusted. And they had it on a yard sale. 10 cents won't work. That's like waving a flag in front of a bull. So I brought it home. That's the only cardinal in captivity that's been written. I didn't have a cardinal, so I cut that out of one of these pressed picture cards, you know, where
that's
the
right.
Shape. It's so slow up there, but...
So that's very good.
If I let it run all the time, this keeps... I should oil it again. But I don't run it all the time. There are some old timers, believe me, the pioneers used to have pictures like that. That's from out on the farm.
Did you notice the scene on the beach?
Yeah, I...
Well, I wanted our beach, so I did it just on plywood and painted it with a paintbrush.
And how long had you been coming down here to,
We came down here in 62.
And were you then living in Indiana?
We had lived in... I taught public school in Indiana for 32 years. When my first wife passed away, and went overseas in a church relief work.
Huh.
Lost my health in Jordan. And I had to come back here, and I came to Florida for my health. And that's where I met her. Her father lived here, and she lived in Virginia. She came down to visit him in the winter time, and we met. And we married then. And I taught four more years, and... church and a school in Ozarks in Arkansas.
And you were really traveling around.
And then my father was sickly and he came down to carry him. I taught 4 years here, so I'm like 40 years of teaching.
Our lady mentioned school type.
That was her grandmother's chair, but it's just ours because we inherited.
This is the school type.
I mean, at the bottom for that. This is a shelf. Top. It's genuine wood, and that's strong. I put redrill and put dowel in
through. Yeah, my mom, as I was saying, my grandmother taught my mom how to do needlework, and my mom must have, I don't know, boxes of the old wooden spools. My grandmother just kept them.
You can't get the spools.
And that would, yeah, that's what my mom was saying now. She said that,
something should be done with. Enough of the same sizes, it's interesting to make something.
When we were kids and I was in Boy Scouts, what she did was she took an old coat hanger and put a few of the spools down at one end, and we used to put hot dogs and marshmallows on one end,
sure.
So it was like a handle for a thing, and so she had thought of that. But
where
that
do
was,
your parents live?
They now live in like where the border of, it's called St. Charles, they moved from St. Charles. In Grace Lake, Illinois, but that's right at the border of Wisconsin, Illinois, in the north. It's about 80 miles north and west of Chicago.
Wouldn't want to be there in winter.
No. Well, my grandmother lives in Tarpon Springs and has for about almost 40 years, 37 years.
Here's another hobby of mine. I was in town one time and I saw them take a Timex watch cabinet off the front. I said, "What are you doing?" So I got some of them and took the bottom shelves out of the seawall around it, and mounted shelves and redecorated them. But they did of them.
Can you just go get any of these cabinets like this?
Yeah, I found six of them that were floating away, and we didn't get hold of them. They don't go away anymore like that. They're too expensive. About 3 weeks to do all that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And that was a 2x10 wool blanket, 6 feet long. I started on that too.
6 feet long? You can't find wool like that.
No, I didn't. I found a piece of
it in Arkansas. Where one could get wood.
I found some in Arkansas, of course, where they have a lot of native lumber. Then I saw four pieces for the legs, 2x2, and plain two sides, and then put those four pieces together.
And there we could get pretty cedar too.
Yeah,
it was. And
here was made that bowl out there.
Yeah, that was a 2x4.
This was a 2x4?
Red cedar 2x4, that's right. You can see the joints here, look carefully.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to turn it all the way.
Did your father, well, how old are you, sir?
I'm 83.
When your father was doing woodwork, did they have lace at that time? Did they have
nothing.
Pedal lace at all? Nothing. So everything was done by hand?
We were on the farm, and he just had 10 tools. He was not two-handed, but he'd like to have something good when he wanted, like a plane.
Yeah.
his planes were off bounds for a sail shoot. But he didn't make a whole lot of anything like that. He made no furniture. But he repaired things. He had a shoe repair outfit too. And here's another novelty I like. By the way, I saw an architect.
When you say your father bought it at your grandfather's sale, what do you mean, man? That clock. In other words, your grandfather like sold everything on his farm, or?
My grandmother had passed away.
I see.
And my grandfather was going to live with
your relative, or?
With a daughter. And so they had an auction.
I see.
And I recall that my father had at the sale. So I don't know how long my grandparents had it, but I remember it. Mm-hmm.
That's a regulator.
Yeah, regulator. What part of Pennsylvania were you from exactly?
In Chester County, about 30 miles north of Philadelphia.
What?
Still trying to think of things to say, you know? Trying to think of things to ask. I had to get up early this morning so I could go out and talk about cow lips. Just realized I'm tired. Well, has anybody ever, any other researcher ever come up to you to ask you questions about things or at all?
I'm going to ask her on my side. And she's her father. Do we have any question here?
No, he meant researching like some of our friends. No one ever has.
And do you do the crocheting work and stuff too?
Well, I've read the African, that's crochet.
Yeah, because I noticed these are like doily things here.
Oh, yes. I don't know if I know that.
I guess she keeps me stitches. She's real clever in sewing. They have a monthly get together for church in the MSC room. That's the women's.
We sew for relief projects such as Haiti, and we help Immokalee a lot. We help migrants of Immokalee and poor overseas too.
And the comforters. Are there any old scraps of material that are left over?
No, they're all new.
Left, I shouldn't have said old. But scraps that are left over from all the other things. They're left in patches.
Many of our migrants to Immokalee and other places that live in their cars because the rent is so terribly high. And no way to keep their children warm. We just sent 12 cars over to Immokalee recently.
Some of those dishes in there are heirlooms from our family.
What's the name of the pastor at your church, ma'am?
Stanley
Kaufman. Kaufman, yeah, Mr. Kaufman, that's right. And so the relief work has been to the migrant workers who, pick the fruit and stuff in Immokalee?
Well, it's more vegetables in Immokalee.
That's right.
Then when it's cold and there's a freeze, then they're left penniless.
There is a Mennonite church in that area, and there are some of those plans.
It's a relief agency at Immokalee work. Clothing is dispersed.
Don't they have a Spanish church there too?
I think so.
I believe
so.
If I wanted to, which I do, find out more about these sort of crafts in the area here.
I only know of one garage where they're working, and I can tell you where that is. You'll be going back by a vista through Pinecraft, won't you?
Yes, ma'am.
You cross Beneva. And when you cross the next street, which is Hines, there's a two-story house on your left.
Mm-hmm.
Not right on the corner, but second. And he has fixed his garage where the lady's.
Okay, no, that's right. So it's going down here now towards town.
When you get out here on Bella Vista, mm-hmm. This is Bella Vista.
Yes, ma'am.
Go straight through Beneva, which is the big cross with
yes,
the light. Then you keep going until the next cross street, which is Hines.
Hines.
Yes,
and then pass over that. Mm-hmm. And this is still on Bay of Vista, and it's
on the left.
It's the two-story house, which is...
Before you get to the restroom. Before you get to the...
Okay.
If you happen to pass it, you get the restroom parking lot.
And then just
walk,
turn around.
Walk
around
or something.
Okay.
Because it's not the house on Hines Street, but it's still on Bay of Vista. It's a two-story house. It's right out against the street. And his garage sits right back from the parking mm-hmm. lot. And he told me just the other day that he has allowed the ladies to quilt, and he said there's a list there, I believe he said. Well, they sign up, and as their mm-hmm. name comes up, then they can put their quilt in. And then all these ladies walk in the mornings from one place to another, and if there's no room at this quilt, they'll move on to the next place until the quilt sits with a dozen people or more. So they get them done in several days.
Yeah, it sounds like. That's right. What's the man's name, do you recall?
His name is Henry Miller, that owns the place.
That owns the place.
And yeah. What group will be working today, I don't know.
But the parking lot for the restroom, if you miss that, then the parking lot for the restroom floor is right on around past the restroom, the big parking lot behind it. I'm sure you park there. That'll be right behind that house. It's a two-story house.
Okay. All right. Keep my eye open for it. Well, thank you both.
It's been nice meeting you.
I only have one. I got to put all my stuff away here. And then I have one last thing to ask you. What I'll do is I'll put my my name and everything